Redskins, your daily Washington Redskins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We welcome you to a new episode of the Locked On Redskins podcast. I'm your host, Chris Russell, and as always, we invite you to follow along at Locked Redskins. At Locked Redskins, we put up lots of links and stories and all sorts of Redskins coverage there at Locked Redskins on Twitter. As well, you can follow me individually at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. In addition to our full-length podcast, which we do here, which you're listening to right now, we do daily Google News Initiative 5 and 1 minute reports on the Washington Redskins. So please, 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 please check those out. Daily 1 and 5 minute reports on your favorite football team, presumably the Washington Redskins, through the Google News Initiative and Locked On Redskins as well. RedskinsReport.com. Part of SI, I do all my writing there and a lot of video work, and we have a lot of cool features and a crew and a staff that gives a lot of different opinions. So if you're a huge Washington Redskins fan, we have you covered from pillar to post at RedskinsReport.com. That's under the SI.com umbrella. So please check it out and share a friend, and tell a friend, I should say, and share a link as well. You can listen to me on the radio from time to time, let's put it that way, 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app, and also by subscription to Warpath Magazine. All right, so let's get to it. The Redskins signed, well, agreed to terms with two more players. One of them actually signed. We'll get to him in just a little bit, but on Wednesday evening, the Redskins came to an agreement with Cody Latimer, the now former New York Giant wide receiver and kick returner, 2014 second round pick of the Denver Broncos. So Cody Latimer comes across in the division. Again, former second round pick, played 4 years there in Denver, actually was with the Broncos. He didn't have a huge role. But was with the Broncos for their Super Bowl 50 championship team when they beat Ron Rivera and then the Carolina Panthers. Meanwhile, since leaving Denver, he's been with the Giants the last 2 years. You may remember in that mid to late December, I guess it was sort of late December, a home game at FedEx Field, scored a touchdown, part of a 5-touchdown performance from Daniel Jones. It was just basically sitting down in the zone, and three Redskins receivers, Landon Collins, I think it was Sensabaugh, who just got cut the other day, and somebody else, Bostic, I believe, just, you know, in a zone. He found a hole, and there was nobody even remotely close, and they weren't able to close out, and Cody Latimer plunged in for a 10-yard touchdown from Daniel Jones. So, you know, why that's significant, you know, look, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of this, but it seems like Ron Rivera put a heavy emphasis on what he saw and what he's seen a lot of, or what he saw first. And what I mean by that is this is the second dude that came into FedEx Field, Logan Thomas, the first one, in late November, and a game that Ron has mentioned significantly and many times when it comes to Dwayne Haskins. But Logan Thomas caught a touchdown pass in that game. Cody Latimer scored a touchdown pass in this particular game that we're talking about. I mean, obviously later than the Lions game, but this is the tape that Ron Rivera first saw. He said he watched the final six games of the Redskins season. So now he's watched everything, right? We all understand that. But certain things may have jumped out to him. Maybe he liked what he saw a little bit more out of Latimer, a little bit more out of Logan Thomas than others that he saw on tape. And maybe he had a little bit, you know, more of an opportunity to just sit down and focus, not having to come up with a game plan every week. I don't know. I could be completely speaking out of turn here, but it just seems like he's mentioned Haskins at the end of the Detroit game as a reason for what he liked about Dwayne Haskins. And then now you go out and you sign Logan Thomas and Cody Latimer, who caught the touchdown pass from Daniel Jones. It just seems like there's kind of a heavy emphasis on what he saw in those final six games or so of the Redskins season. But here's how Cody Latimer can help the Redskins, not only as a receiver, where he had, 300 yards receiving, two touchdowns on the year. And he seems like he's got really good hands, overall for a guy who hasn't put up big numbers in his career. I mean, I've seen some tape on him since they agreed to terms with him. You know, one-handed catches, good separation, uses his hands well to disengage, and obviously has speed. And one other area that they're definitely going to be able to use him, and maybe he'll be the primary guy in this area, is as kick returner. He had 24 returns last year for the Giants, 570 yards, a 23.8 average, no touchdowns, but I saw a 50-yard return against the Dallas Cowboys. I believe that was on Monday Night Football, maybe it was Sunday Night Football, can't remember, in which he really kind of hit a hole, burst, broke a couple of tackles. So the Redskins always need help in that area. Right, they were better at it last year than they have been, certainly, but they need help. And you need depth, and you need competition. This isn't ideally the veteran receiver that, we all thought was going to happen, but Cody Latimer is a pretty interesting addition, and we don't know the contract terms yet, but I would also say this, I think he'll make the team. I don't think this is just, a camp body or anything like that. They've been looking for a veteran receiver. He certainly qualifies in that mold. He's not guaranteed to be anything. He can help you out on specials, and he can help you out, give you some speed option in case something happens to Terry McLaurin. Remember, McLaurin missed the Week 4 loss at the Giants last year and also missed Week 17. At the end of the season. So I think this is a pretty decent addition for the Redskins. Terry McLaurin, Steven Sims, Kelvin Harmon, Trey Quinn, basically the foursome, at the top of the wide receiver unit. Now you add Latimer in, and now you have a pretty good group of five guys. All right. Also, the Redskins signing another offensive lineman, right? So, this guy, you're probably not going to remember the name of unless you watched a lot of Indianapolis Colts football in 2017. The Redskins have signed Jeremy Vucinovic, Vucinovic. Now, you might ask, who is Jeremy Vucinovic? Well, he was undrafted, signed to the Green Bay Packers in 2014, played with the Arizona Cardinals, and also played with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, in 2017, he played all 16 games, started all 16 games for the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck at left guard. Played 1,030 snaps, allowed six sacks, but then he moves on to the Arizona Cardinals, which, I'm not sure exactly what that tells you. And in only 147 snaps in 2018, about two-thirds of those at left guard, a third roughly at right guard, he allowed three sacks in a very limited amount of snaps. So he played both guard spots for five games for 2018 in Arizona, and he didn't play at all last year. So, he's only played, five games in the last 2 years. And you would think, with playing 16 games and starting 16 games for Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, even though Andrew Luck did not have a great offensive line, certainly he seems to be a guy who was signaled out for that because they moved on despite him starting 16 games. So interesting that the Redskins are bringing in a little depth here. We'll see what that all means in terms of the competition if and when we get to training camp. All right, coming up next, we're going to hear from head coach Ron Rivera. He joined my pal Kyle Bailey on WFNZ in Charlotte on Tuesday during the midst of a flurry of these moves. Is Dwayne Haskins the starting quarterback? He'll tell you what his thoughts are next on the Locked On Redskins podcast. All right, this is the Locked On Redskins podcast. I'm Chris Russell. Great to have you with us. So long first segment, so let's get right to it. Ron Rivera, Redskins head coach, joining Kyle Bailey, WFNZ in Charlotte on Tuesday during the midst of free agency. So let's hear from the head ball coach of the Washington Redskins.
Still weird to say former head coach of the Carolina Panthers, but now the head coach of the Washington Redskins, Ron Rivera, with us on the Technicom guest line. Coach, how you been?
I'm good, Kyle. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a lot right now. You know what I mean? The world's in a weird place.
Yeah, I know. It really is. It's been strange, and you know, it's been disruptive, and hopefully everybody's, you know, taking it seriously and being careful.
Yeah. Since you said that, right, because I hear the urgency in your voice when you say that, I see a lot of football coaches being asked to step up and make videos urging people to comply with social distancing and to do what's what do you think that's about? I mean, are the organizations, the leagues asking coaches to do that? What do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I really just think it's the community asking the guys to step up, which I think is cool. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so many people look to people in the community to help out, and now's an opportunity to step up and get involved.
Absolutely. Ron, I'll jump into it, man. We were on the air yesterday shortly after the show started. News broke that there's a deal between the Panthers and the Redskins to send Kyle Allen your way and sending a fifth rounder back this way. What was the impetus behind that deal, and why did you feel it was important to get Kyle to D.C.?
Well, the biggest thing more than anything else is that, you know, Kyle fits what we do. He understands our system. You know, Scotty Turner's our offensive coordinator. You know, we're using the system that we had basically had in place for 9 seasons. And Kyle's a young quarterback. He's had some success. You know, he is good in the locker room. He understands what I'm looking for. He understands what Scotty's looking for. So hopefully we can take that and use it to our advantage with our new team.
I mean, is Dwayne Haskins your starting quarterback? I mean, is that what you're going into camp believing, or are these guys going to compete?
That's what we're going to camp believing, but they're going to compete. I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen. So we've just got to get ourselves ready and really like who we have in terms of our young quarterback. But Kyle's also a young guy that's got a live arm that understands the game, understands how we do things. So I'm excited about what this potential could be.
All right, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins. He's with us here on the Technicom guest line. Coach, everybody out here in Charlotte listening right now wants to know your thoughts on the news of the day. Cam Newton's been released, and it's been kind of a week in the making. We got the news of the Teddy Bridgewater signing last week, and now today we get the news that the Cam Newton era has come to an end in with the Carolina Panthers. The news broke. How did it hit you? And I'm certain you've reflected a good bit in this stretch.
Well, and truthfully, you know, it's not really for me to comment on decision and what they did going forward. But the biggest thing, more so than anything else, is I was just very fortunate to have been there and been his head coach. I mean, Cam was great for us. You know, he got us to a Super Bowl. He won the league MVP. You know, he set a nice legacy there in the city of Charlotte, the community. You know, just a super guy. And you're right, I did reflect a lot, had a lot of conversation with a bunch of friends, and you know, just about, you know, who he was for us and what he meant. And, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's also part of the game. You know, not everything lasts forever. I mean, heck, Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay now.
That's true. That's very true. And, Coach, look, I know you've been asked this several times already. Cam passed a physical yesterday, not that part, but, you know, with his impending, you know, freedom to go where he wanted to go or even a trade possibility, was there any interest in bringing him to D.C.? Have you had any conversations of that manner?
No, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we have a young football team with a young quarterback in position, and we have the chance to set and establish a thing. So, you know, that's the way we're looking at it. Going forward, you never know what's going to happen, but where we are right now, and you know, we made a commitment to a young guy, to young guys, to be honest with you, to find out who we have as a football team.
Your exit from this organization, I thought, was really well received. I thought they did a really nice job in thanking you on the way out and highlighting all the great things that you did. You did a lot of that yourself, and justifiably so. People texting and calling in today saying that the end of the era wasn't handled properly with respect to not just Cam, but Greg and you and all that sort of stuff. I mean, is that a thing that we should just, I mean, should we have no expectation that that eras end well in the NFL? This is a business, after all. How do you reconcile those things?
Well, it is a business, and like I said, on my way out, you know, Mr. Tepper treated me fairly. He did. He treated me with dignity, gave me an opportunity to move on and move on quickly, which I really appreciated. You know, no matter how you look at it, you know, not everybody's going to be happy about it. It's unfortunate, but it's also the nature of the game. But, you know, as I said, Mr. Tepper was great with me. He really was. We had a great conversation, and we still text on occasion, and we really do. I mean, he's just been good and super, and, you know, I'm appreciative of that.
Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins. He's with us here on the Technicom guest line. Coach, I don't want to keep you too awfully long here, but we started off the show talking about how the coronavirus pandemic has impacted the entire world and certainly football. The NFL has been a godsend for guys like me, quite frankly, for the past week and a half because we've had this NFL free agency news to talk about. Moving forward, do you have any expectation for when the league could possibly resume something akin to normal activity? I mean, does anybody have a grasp on that right now?
No, nobody does, and quite honestly, I think, you know, the biggest thing we can do is listen to the healthcare professionals. You know, heed their warnings, heed their directions, just follow what they're telling us, and hopefully, you know, the things will subside, and we can get back to normal. We just don't know when, but in the meantime, you know, everybody be smart, be safe, you know, and again, practice.
Have as far as the draft goes, how has this altered your approach as a team to the draft? Because you can't have the workouts, you can't have contact, no physicals, the facilities are closed. I mean, are you concerned as a franchise about that? What adjustments are you making?
Well, the biggest thing everybody has to do is you're going to have to rely on your scouts and what they've been doing on the players for at least 3 years. You know, most of these scouts know who these guys are. They've been working on for over three seasons. And again, now you're going to just see how good your scouting departments are.
Ron, do you look back at any point in time in your tenure here with the Carolina Panthers, and do you identify a moment, a game, a play, something you look back on and think, if this had gone differently or that had gone differently, we might be having a different conversation?
Yeah, the 2016 season. You know, the unfortunate, you know, play of the 2016 season was probably the, you know, the one thing that I always reflect and just wish it could have been different. You know, just everything from miss, you know, from losing the game, you know, the opener to Denver and Denver, to Michael Orr getting hurt, you know, to some of the other injuries that happened that season, and then Cam getting hurt in the San Diego game. I mean, you just, you know, that season really, to me, it was really the kind of the crux of it all in terms of, you know, the slowdown and then kind of the spiral. I mean, if you go back and look at what happened in 2016, I think that's the season I point to as, I wish we could have had things differently there.
So with that in mind, I mean, You told me, I think it was 2 days after the announcement that you were moving on, that, you know, if Cam Newton doesn't get hurt, you don't think we're having that conversation. And I think that makes a whole lot of sense, and I'm glad you brought that up. Last thing here, and I'll cut you loose, Coach. Has Matt Rhule reached out to you at all for any advice, coach to coach, about the Panthers and how to proceed here with this organization?
No, I think the biggest thing for Coach is, you know, he's got a way of doing things, and he's been a head coach in college football for the last for several years and has been very successful. And, you know, I think, again, it's how he's going to do things. And, you know, we'll cross paths. It's just the way it is in the NFL. And, you know, he's done some good things. He really has. And I'm excited for the organization because, again, you know, my heart's in Charlotte. I love the folks there. And, again, just wish him nothing but the best.
Any chance you'd tip me off as to what you're going to do with that second overall pick?
Yeah, we're going to pick us a good player.
All right, I figured that was the best I would get. Coach, it's always a pleasure, man. We appreciate you. As always, you're a class act. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, everybody be safe, okay?
Absolutely. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins, with us there on the Technicom guest line.
All right, once again, that's courtesy of WFNZ in Charlotte and Kyle Bailey. We appreciate them for helping us out and granting permission to use that Ron Rivera interview and so that you guys could hear it in total. Again, the whole interview, if you want to listen to it again, available on the WFNZ website and as well on radio.com. So we appreciate them for allowing us to use that on Ron Rivera, talking about Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, and a very weird offseason and Cam Newton. All right, time to wrap it up, and we'll do that next. We'll talk about Quentin Dunbar with Corbin Smith, who hosts the Locked On Seahawks podcast and as well writes and covers the Seahawks for SI.com as well and Seahawks Maven. We'll do that next right here on the Locked On Redskins podcast. All right, good to have you with us. We wrap up the show with a conversation with Corbin Smith, who I hooked up with earlier this week when the Seahawks traded for Quentin Dunbar. We thought we'd get together and exchange some conversation about why the trade was made and what the Redskins were kind of looking at and, you know, kind of a firsthand view, if you will, on what Quentin Dunbar is all about. So we'll cover you here with that. And then in a coming up episode or a future episode, Corbin's going to help us out with J.D. McKissic, who he covered for a little while in Seattle. So here's part of our conversation about Quentin Dunbar.
By acquiring cornerback Quentin Dunbar from the Washington Redskins for a fifth-round pick, the 162nd selection in April's draft. To break down all the details surrounding Seattle's latest trade to upgrade their secondary, I'm excited to welcome Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins and Redskin Maven to the show. How are you today, Chris?
Hey, Corbin. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for doing this and always to... You know, good to catch up. And, you know, these two teams have done some playoff business in years past, but not many trades. Of course, the Redskins once had Jim Zorn as their head coach for a couple of years. So there's a lot of ties between John Schneider was once a Redskins executive. A lot of ties between these two organizations, not a whole lot of trades. So I'm excited to talk about this one.
Obviously, this was a huge move for the Seahawks. The secondary was one of their bigger weaknesses last year, in part because the pass rush was really bad. And it's hard for your secondary to be good when you can't get after the opposing quarterback, vice versa. But this is certainly one that couldn't have been easy for the Redskins as far as making trades are concerned, because Dunbar is a player that was not even a priority undrafted free agent coming out of Florida. He was kind of a third or fourth receiver on their depth chart most of his career and comes to Washington. He's a receiver, and then they love what they see on special teams with him jamming and press coverage on special teams. So they're like, let's try him at corner. And he develops into a really good corner over the past few years, developing that position. So it can't be easy for the Redskins to move on. Discuss for a second why you think Washington was willing to trade Dunbar for just a fifth-round pick, given the development he's had over the years.
So I think they rushed into this deal. Let's start with that. I didn't think they had to make the deal yesterday or tomorrow or next week, but they were exhausted from deal. The new regime, Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, Kyle Smith, their new essentially general manager, they didn't have much patience, and they don't have much patience as they try and install a new culture, a culture of accountability, and a culture of all in and not me, 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 me. They hated how Quentin Dunbar, who's a good guy. I've covered Quentin since he came into the league in 2015. You know, I've talked to him a number of times. He really isn't a jerk. He really is kind of modest and unassuming. I don't know quite what got into. Well, I do know some of what got into his anger, which I'm sure we'll get to. You know, so the Redskins were just tired of dealing with it, and they didn't want any malcontents, and they decided to pay Kendall Fuller, brought him back from the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs after trading him a couple of years ago, and they looked around and they said, well, if he's making $10 million a year, we're not giving Quentin Dunbar even close to that. if anything at all, of a raise from $3.25 million in his final year. We're not dealing with this circus all year. And they looked around. Maybe they panicked a little bit. Maybe they rushed in a little bit. But they didn't want other teams filling their holes at corner and then therefore being left holding the bag and not being able to get anything for him. So they spun the deal and got the fifth-round pick back that they used to get Kyle Allen from Carolina.
Yeah, it's interesting how this entire process played out with them making two trades yesterday, now getting a quarterback that's familiar with Ron Rivera playing in Carolina for him last year. So a number of different trades going on there. Looking at the player, as I mentioned, former receiver, 6'2". He's got the length that John Schneider and Pete Carroll just covet at outside corner. What's his ceiling as a player? Obviously, he was playing at an all-pro Pro Bowl caliber level before he got hurt last year. What is the ceiling for Dunbar? And I guess my other question here, I've noticed he's played a little bit of slot for the Redskins as well. Do you see that as something that he could do for the Seahawks if called upon?
I don't see him as a great slot player, and they really tried to avoid that as much as possible as he developed. So I really see him as an out, and I really see him just purely as an outside corner, and that's how they used him largely, and mostly. I don't think they thought his frame necessarily would match well with kind of the jitterbug smaller receivers in the slot. So let's just say I think he fits perfectly in the mold that you're talking about, the taller, more athletic, longer reach type corners. The one thing about Dunbar, besides, you know, again, you look and you say, well, four interceptions, that's good, right? And only 11 games. Again, that's good. He is really, I think he is pretty darn smart in terms of his mental approach to the game. He understands patterns. He understands routes. He understands where he needs to be, where a ball might be released or where it might be headed even before it gets there or even before it's released. He is a student of the game. Now, is he a brain surgeon? No. I'm talking about from a football IQ standpoint, he's not a dummy. Is he above average? Absolutely. Is he really smart? That's debatable, but I think you're getting a pretty good football IQ player who, again, has tremendous athleticism in addition to the longer frame that you're talking about that Quentin Dunbar brings to the table. And again, I think he has a nose for the football. And, He has developed amazing. I mean, it's really a true success story from, like you said, receiver when he first got to the Redskins, undrafted out of Florida in 2015. Jay Gruden, Scott McLuhan, former Seahawk executive, they deserve a lot of credit for turning him around. Joe Barry, now the Rams defensive, co-defensive coordinator, whatever he is, they deserve a lot of credit for turning and flipping Quentin Dunbar.
Looking at this from the Redskins' perspective, I'll add this as well. From the film I've gotten to watch, another thing that I really think the Seahawks love about this player, he's only had 6 missed tackles the last 2 years combined. He has been really good at when he gets to ball carrier, he gets him to the ground. So Pete Carroll cannot stand that if his corners cannot tackle.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us on this edition of the Locked On Redskins podcast. Again, thanks to Corbin Smith, part of Seahawk Maven, and as well the Locked On Seahawks podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Thanks to Kyle Bailey, WFNZ, and Ron Rivera, and everybody there. And thank you for listening and downloading and for supporting what we're trying to do here. Adios.